I want you to cast your minds back a real long time, 9 months. It's not a long time, is it? But that was the start of the year. It's nearly, I think tomorrow is September. Tuesday, September. And remember the start of the year, nobody here had heard of COVID-19. Coronavirus. Wow, there used to be a life before COVID-19. My family, just 9 months ago, we started 2020 off with this pleasant couple of weeks, as we do biannually, down in Mandurah. We go down there for a bit of a holiday. Ben and Cherie flew in from Melbourne with our grandson Luca. Jared flew in from London, and we had a great time. We always have a wonderful time together. It was a great holiday, but like most people, we were a little bit concerned about those in the eastern states who were suffering from the bushfires. Who remembers the bushfires? You know, you kind of forget about them. They were, you know, devastating. All those animals that died, people lost their homes and houses. And, you know, obviously that was on TV at that time, and we're a bit concerned about that, you know, concerned for the people who were suffering. But nonetheless, the holiday was good, and we faced 2020 with optimism and with good expectation, and we thought this is going to be a great year. Rochelle and I, we made plans to fly to London. We were going to fly to London to see Jared in July. Who knows, that didn't happen. And we planned to fly to Melbourne. Actually, this Wednesday of this week, we were meant to be in Melbourne so we could see our second grandson, who was meant to be born late July. Also, in addition, you know, in January, I was praying. That's a good thing to do. I was praying, especially when you're a pastor, that's a good thing to do, amen. I was praying over you. I was praying over the year, Real Life Church. And I was seeking God and His will for our church. And I just picked up really just one thing in my spirit, and that was this, is that this year, our theme is to be thrive in 2020. Who remembers that? Seems so long ago, doesn't it? Our theme is going to be thrive. And I'm so sure that I heard from God, absolutely. But then COVID-19 came. Remember, it started off as coronavirus, and then they changed it to COVID-19, you know, and then explained why. So COVID-19 came, and it was just suddenly upon us. And then, you remember, restrictions started to be imposed upon us and upon the community and upon Australia. And everybody's life in Australia was just quickly turned upside down. And I've got to be honest with you, though I hid my feelings from you all, is I was completely bewildered by what was going on. I was very unsettled about what was happening across Australia and the world. Obviously, I was concerned about Jared in London, what's going on over there, blah, 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 you know, and Ben and Shree in Melbourne. And I was concerned about the government. Suddenly, the government had this sudden willingness to part with billions of dollars. And praise God, amen, for all those who have been blessed with some of those billions of dollars. But it bothered me that they could just make such a decision so rapidly and quickly. And then social distancing just totally irritated me. I'm not saying I was right. I'm just saying the way my personality is wired up, social distancing is not a good thing for me. And then we were told that we could not gather as a church. Nobody closes a church down. Who do they think they are? But they closed us down, didn't they? I just thought it was unbelievable. And my first emotions, and it might come as a surprise to you, but I have emotions too. And my first emotions when they said you can't have church was just alarm. And then it sort of morphed into annoyance about the whole thing. What's going on? It's getting out of control. Nonetheless, we had to adjust quickly to the world of social media, and we're still doing it with all of its complexities. I want to say thank you to Michael and the team down the back and the great job they've done. And yeah, give them a hand. And but we had to try and figure out how to adapt as a church so we could still bring God's word and God's presence into our now lockdown church. And so we really worked really hard to do that. And while I think we as a church adapted very well, and I think you adapted really well, I still felt, I'm talking a little bit about my emotions, we're going to go somewhere with this, but I still felt unsettled by all the changes and its impact upon you. I was really concerned about you. And I was really concerned about our missionaries. And actually, to be honest with you, I still am concerned about our missionaries too. But I was especially concerned about our youth group. Because the youth are just really vulnerable to losing connection with the church and with youth group. And I just felt for Daniel. My heart just went out to Daniel because he'd just begun to lead the youth group, and that was tough as it was, and now he had COVID-19 as a whole nother layer, and he was left trying to figure out how to stay connected to our scattered young people. And I think he did a fantastic job, by the way. It's just incredible. And you know, thank God that we can pray and he is faithful, amen. And the truth is, we are still thriving here at Real Life Church. I'm thriving, we are thriving. But still, on a personal level, while the borders remain closed, we actually, Shai, we don't know when our little family will ever gather together again. We suspect it will be probably a couple of years away. And many of you are in the same boat as well. Everyone has a COVID-19 story of some sort. Some of you have been tested for COVID. Pastor Bethman got tested the other day. And some of you have been cut off from your family because they live outside of WA. A lot of you tell me that. Some of you have not been able to attend important family events like weddings. You missed it. You had to watch it online. Or funerals of people who are really important to you and you couldn't attend. Couldn't get out of WA. And that's, no matter how strong you are, that still is heartbreaking. And it doesn't matter how strong you are emotionally, things like that are really important. They actually really hurt. Some of you are from other, you're from other countries and you can't go back home and you've missed important things. And, you know, it hurts you. And then, of course, there's some people who have lost their jobs. They got closed down because of COVID-19 and bang, they're gone. It's all over. That's it. And some people have even lost their businesses. And these outcomes are really tough to handle for people. And so the COVID-19 season has impacted everybody in Australia, around the world, and it's impacted us here in some way, some more than others, obviously. And all of this change that we've had over recent months is unsettling. It is. It is very unsettling. And we don't understand everything that's going on. We're not privy to decisions that are made by the government. And for all of us in this room and for Australia today, the future remains uncertain. Rochelle and I have been talking about when can we fly to London again? We don't know. The future remains uncertain. It's uncertain for everybody. And all of this uninvited change, we never asked for COVID-19 to come, but all of this uninvited change and uncertainty, it messes with your head. Messes with everybody's head. It messed with my head too for a little while, and I had to get right on top of that. And when it messes with your head, then it starts to filter down from your head into your emotions. And your emotions get messed up. Because your emotions always flow from what you're thinking about. And so because of the uncertainty of life, you may feel a little bit edgy. You may have found that you lose your temper over trivial things. Don't look at anybody right now. Or maybe you've always lost your temper over trivial things. Well, stop it. Amen. You may even find it's a little bit hard to sleep, you know. Or you might find you actually just things make you afraid and you get nervous. Or you may even have an emotional meltdown. You may become downcast and even depressed. And well-meaning, good Christian friends can even find themselves arguing over conspiracy theories or over things like, should you wear a face mask or not? Good people arguing over stupid things. It's like a giant shadow has been cast right across the whole world, and everyone senses it, but nobody knows what to do about it. And so if you feel a little bit unsettled, that's okay. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. It's okay to feel edgy. It's okay to feel uncertain. And I reckon if you have an emotional meltdown, that's okay as well. And if you want to, you can have two or three meltdowns as well if you want, whatever you want to do. We all need to lighten up and remember that we've never been in a pandemic situation before. Previous generations have had pandemics, but we never have. We're in uncharted waters. Your world and my world has been changed, perhaps even forever, and we have no control over that. And so it's very okay to experience some emotional weariness. It's okay to experience emotional heaviness as a result of the kind of year that we've all had. And it's a natural response to the uncertainties that have been thrust upon you. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says this: there is a time for everything, including a time to weep when your life is turned upside down. There is a time to be unsettled. But it's just for a time. It's just for a time. Because there comes another time that says, enough is enough. We live in the world as Christians with all of its crazy uncertainties that do rub off on us, but we no longer belong to this fallen world. We are children of God. We are children of the gospel. The gospel is God's good news. We're children of hope. And thank God, part of God's gospel, God's good news, because gospel means good news, part of God's good news is that you don't have to park your life forever in a permanent place of heaviness, meltdowns, and anxiety or fretting. The Bible says this: weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. I may be feeling uncertain, and I may have had an emotional meltdown, but joy is coming in the morning. I may be feeling depressed. I may be feeling heavy. That's okay for a time, but joy is coming in the morning. My world may have been shaken and rocked, but joy is coming in the morning. I may not be able to see my family just yet, but joy is coming in the morning. I may have lost my job and I don't know what to do, but joy is coming in the morning. No matter what is happening in 2020, and there's more to come, this story is not written yet, but no matter what is happening in 2020, I may be agitated by it all. I may not like what is happening, but I will still thrive because God's hand is upon my life and He's working for my good and He's working for your good also. Thriving in the middle of a crazy 2020 is still God's plan and agenda for your life, my dear brother and sister. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! You know, even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they thrived while walking around in the fire because the presence of Jesus was with them back there. Praise God. One day, you know, the disciples asked Jesus about future events and especially the end of the world. And this is what Jesus said. He said this: there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming over on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken, and at that time they will see the Son of Man, that's Jesus, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And then he said, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, or some versions say, look up. Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. From time to time, people ask me if I think we're living in the last days, the end times. And they also say, is this pandemic part of the last days? Maybe people have asked you the same question. And here's the honest answer. I honestly don't know. But I figure that since every one of us has a personal last day coming on planet Earth, we need to pay attention to that. What we do know is that the last days will be unsettling and uncertain. That's what we do know. But if you think about it, throughout human history, there have been many times that have been traumatic, unsettling, and uncertain anyway. The whole world was rocked by the Spanish flu just 100 years ago. 60 million people lost their lives. The whole world was in turmoil, and the world suffered terribly through two world wars. And Christians of the day thought it was the end of the world way back then. But here we still are. The last days will take care of themselves. But uncertainty and upheaval will always be part of the human experience as we live in a fallen world. But what I do want to do is draw your attention to the advice that Jesus gave to the disciples for those last days when life is in turmoil and uncertain. Jesus said, we've just read it, he said, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This advice from Jesus is good for every season of uncertainty and upheaval, and it's good for today. When the world goes crazy, when nature goes crazy. What about the storms in Melbourne? You know, we're communicating over WhatsApp with Ben. They had no drinking water. People, right, the dams got contaminated. People have seen that on the news. And so, this is Melbourne, one of our largest cities in Australia, and the people can't drink the water straight from the tap. What's going on? And so Ben and Cherie, like everybody else, was having to boil the water for drinking. And people then did a rush on the shops. All the drinking water went. And we just texted, hey, how are you going while you're boiling water? And Cherie said something really interesting. She says, I'm really thirsty. Who gets, you don't mean to get thirsty. What's going on with our country? What's happening? What about this massive cyclone that's just hit, hurricane that's just hit the United States of America? It's massive. It's huge. When nature goes crazy, when your personal world goes crazy, that's the time to stand up, lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing near. And there are just two key points that Jesus was making in times of uncertainty. First point, when everything goes crazy, this is his first point for us. When everything's going crazy, when your life is upside down, position yourself for an expected deliverance. Get in the right posture, for God is still working in your life. Let me explain what the posture looks like. Actually, we've got a picture on the screen of that beautiful little girl. She's expecting something from God. She's even got her hands lifted. You know, this is the posture of the world. This is a posture of heaviness upon the world. Woe is me. Woe is me. What's going to happen next? Jesus is saying, go counterculture to that. When things go bad, stand up and look up. Lift your head up. Get your head out of the gutter. Lift your head up, for your redemption draws nigh. Posture yourself for expectancy. Something good is going to happen in your life. And you know, that's a physical posture, but really it's meant to be the posture of your heart. This is your inside posture. Posture yourself inside your heart for a miracle. Make yourself do it. Posture yourself for a blessing. Posture yourself for divine intervention. Posture yourself for something good, because the best is yet to come. I love that new song today. That was a new song you were teaching us, right? I love that new song. Several times it says, for the best is yet to come. Amen. Don't freeze up with anxiety. Don't panic and give way to fear. If you're knocked down, don't stay down. If you get knocked down 100 times, don't stay down. Get back up in Jesus' name. Because weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Posture yourself for the morning. The morning's coming. I'm brokenhearted. It's my night season, but the morning's coming. By faith, stand back up and look up, because God is working on your behalf. What about that song we sing? The Waymaker. Even when I don't see it. We've got some good going on here as a choir. Yeah, praise God. Everybody, listen. Everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's all right. It's okay. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. It's going to be okay. Of course it is. One way to posture yourself for deliverance is through gratitude. We spoke about that last week, didn't we? Gratitude and thanksgiving to God. Old King Jehoshaphat, some of you might not have heard of him, but anyway, this old king in the Bible, Old Testament, and his little nation, they were on the brink of disaster, invasion by this huge, formidable army. But as he marched, King Jehoshaphat marched with his own little army to do battle with this formidable army, his singers and his men decided to sing. You know, it's an interesting scenario. You know, potentially, they're on the way to a disaster, but they decided to give thanks to the Lord anyway, you know. And they sang this: give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And their thanksgiving and gratitude to God changed the spiritual atmosphere, and it changed their thinking. They changed their own spiritual atmosphere over their lives at that time. Their gratitude and thanksgiving changed their heart posture, and deliverance came, and God caused their enemy to become confused and their enemy imploded. Earlier I said this statement in this message a few minutes ago: this COVID-19 season is like a giant shadow. Remember me saying that? That has been cast across the whole world, and everyone senses it, but no one knows what to do about it. I said that about 10 minutes ago. Well, this is my response to my own statement is, I said, but no one knows what to do about it. Well, what I want to say is, we know what to do about it. We know what to do about it. We can change the spiritual atmosphere over our lives and over our families and over our church. We do not have to live under the shadow of heaviness of COVID-19, or for that matter, anything else that might be going on in your life. The Bible says this: those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. In a season of upheaval, confusion, and uncertainty, posture yourself in the shadow of the Almighty through gratitude and through thanksgiving. Keep the main thing, and this is the main thing: God is good all the time. When these things, Jesus said, begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Posture yourself for a divine visitation through gratitude and thanksgiving. Could somebody say amen?
Amen.
Come on, amen. Praise the Lord. But Jesus also meant something else when he said, lift up your head, look up, lift up your heads. He meant something else. What did he mean? Well, to me, to lift up your head also means to fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Lift up your head. Look after your head. Look after your mind. Healthy thoughts lead to healthy emotions. Bad thoughts lead to bad emotions. Healthy thoughts lead to healthy emotions. You all know that. You know that already. So lift up your head. Got bad emotions? That's a sure sign. You need to do something with your head. Do something with your head. Your emotions will take care of themselves. Amen. Be made in the new in the attitude of your minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get your mind out of the gutter of the stinking thinking of this fallen world, because it will only ever drag you down. You're a child of hope. You're a child of the gospel. God's with you. Amen. So instead, look up. Look up. Lift up that head. Look up. Look up. Amen. Look up. Fill your mind with good news and the possibilities of God. Praise the Lord. I strongly urge you, and if I'd step on your toes, I strongly urge you to take care of what you put in your mind. Junk in will produce a junky life. Take care of what you watch, what you listen to. I urge you, really seriously, I urge you to limit your intake of the news. You really don't want me to say from the platform while I'm being recorded what I think of the level and standard of journalism in this country, so I won't, but you got the hint of what I was trying to suggest. It's appalling. And truth has got nothing to do with the news. It's all about the story, and it's about messing with your heads. It's about messing with your emotions. If you keep letting the bad news rain down on you, then it will depress you. You keep watching the news, you're going to be having bad moods. It will steal away your faith. It will steal away your joy. I also urge you to be careful with conspiracy theories. I respect the different views people have about what's going on, and I think some of the theories that I've heard about the coronavirus have some merit. There you go, I've got it off my chest. But you know, these conspiracy theories have to be kept in their proper place. If you get worked up over those things, even if you are totally right, and you may well be right, and we're all wrong, you might be right, it can still just mess with your head anyway, because it takes your eyes off Jesus Christ. This is a tip that I've discovered in my life, is this. Many things can be true, but they can still be a distraction to your walk with Jesus if you focus too much on them. And they can steal away your peace. So if you want to dabble in conspiracy theories, that's your business, but make sure if you're going to live a wise life, dabble in it, but don't argue about it. Don't have a fight with somebody about it. And don't become obsessed with it. If you're going to become obsessed with something, get obsessed with Jesus Christ and His Word. So instead, I urge you to read the New Testament. There's a radical concept. Amen. Read the Bible. Amen. Plan to read it all. You know, it's what is it? September, Tuesday, you said, Rochelle. So we've got September, October, November, December. Hey, I'll challenge everybody. Why don't you see if you can read the whole of the New Testament in 4 months till Christmas? There's a good challenge. Just let it wash over you. I urge you to keep a gratitude journal to help keep you from slipping into self-pity. Self-pity will, oh man, that'll destroy you. I urge you to pray each day. Please pray and give your burdens to the Lord. I urge you to get a good night's sleep. Work on your sleep. I urge you to go for walks and enjoy nature. That's really deep and spiritual, isn't it? But seriously, it's all about this. Get out of the house. Go for a walk. Look at some trees. Without your iPhone. Actually, I just got a revelation just then. Give me my iPhone. Oh, hallelujah. Thanks for throwing my iPhone, Rochelle. And that's okay. But everybody's walking around like this. You see them walking down the street. I see these kids walking down the street like this. And it's no wonder they're not killed. Seriously, with the cars and everything else like this. There's a girl the other day, I was walking my dogs, and she was had her music up so loud, she didn't respond to me, and she looked at me, and she stepped right out onto the road, didn't turn, and there was a car with another young person driving it, swerved around her, and she didn't even know. She was seconds away from being run over. Just looked at me, stepped back on. I couldn't take it. I grabbed her, made her pull her things out of her ears, and said, "You nearly got killed then, young lady. That car nearly hit you." Whatever. Off she goes. iPhones. Here's the thing. People are walking along looking at their iPhones. You know what the Bible has to say? You've got the revelation already. Lift up your head. Lift up your head. You've got to go for a walk. Don't take your phone with you. I urge you to engage in acts of kindness. I've nearly finished. Acts of kindness, because not only will it bless others, but it's good for your mental health too. I urge you to stay connected with one another for mutual encouragement and fellowship. It's really, really important. Really important to stay connected. And I urge you, I didn't know where to put this in, because you'd all say, oh, we knew you were going to say that because you're the pastor, but I'm going to say it anyway. I urge you to make coming to church the priority that it should be. You need to come to church. Church is also very good for your mental health. Yes. Amen? And finally, I urge you to listen to good, positive Christian music instead of any rubbish that's gone around. Do what you can. You can probably think of lots of other ideas too. Do what you can to lift up your head. When these things begin to take place, stand up. Lift up your head, put your mobile phone down. Is that in there? Put your mobile phone down? No. Okay. Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near, and weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. Can we say that? Joy? Joy comes with the morning. Amen. In conclusion, life is tough. Life is tough even without COVID-19. I know there's people in our church going through really tough times. There are many life situations that bring us distress, stuff with families, stuff. And so today, maybe you have been in your own personal night season of weeping. I just want to say, please be encouraged that your redemption is drawing near in Jesus' name. Can we just pray? Come on, let's pray. Let's stand our feet, hey? Let's pray. And the band's just going to be playing through Good, Good Father, because we serve a good, good Father, everybody. One of the great gifts that God has given us is the privilege of praying one for another. How wonderful it is when somebody will stand with you and just pray blessing upon you. And so we're just thinking right now, everybody here in the building, we're just going to pray for those people on social media watching this service. We pray for you at home right now, even if you're watching it later in the week or whenever. This prayer is for you. And so, Father, we just pray for people at home on YouTube, Lord. People who are feeling downcast. People are feeling overwhelmed. People are feeling like they're on the edge and they don't know if they could take much more of what's going on. Father, we pray for them. We pray shalom for them. We pray the peace that passes all understanding for them. We pray for them today that you'll encourage them, that their time for weeping is about to come to an end, because joy is coming in the morning. And we pray that the joy of the Lord will be their strength. Those at home, Facebook right now, and YouTube, may God fill your life, your heart with His presence, with hope, with encouragement. And may the Lord strengthen you and help you to stand up and lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing near. So we bless those on Facebook right now, on YouTube, and we say, God bless you and thank you for being with us today in Jesus' name. And everybody in the building said, Amen. Amen.